Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, former LAPD commander, retired from the from LAPD just over a year ago. And so thanks for being on the show, Jeff. We appreciate it. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to make the show available to you. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, right now we're on satellite radio thanks to Compliant Technologies. Also, Arrow Precision USA, and they are our arm sponsor. Got some really cool AR products. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million streamers right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And I believe we are going to be doing a TwoBells giveaway today as well. So we'll be making more announcements about that, but we will be doing a TwoBells giveaway. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter based out of Orlando, Florida. So if you're going to be in Orlando, or maybe perhaps taking the wife and kids or grandkids to Disney, drop them off, hook up with Zach and go fishing for bass. It's a great experience. And hey, if you're really out for a unique experience, do the alligator hunting with Zach. He'll take you, catch and release alligators, or I should say catch and relocate. You can't relocate them to your home. You can't take them home, okay? It's not like little baby alligators either. So, but anyhow, FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And guys, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole list of topics. We're going to start off, you know, talking about a you know what, it's been all over the news. And, you know, if anyone saw the tribute on Friday night, it was from Erica Kirk. It was just mind blowing. So there should not have been a dry eye in the room for anybody that watched Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife. She's a widow now, and it's just a tearjerker, guys. And that was on Friday night. So we're going to be starting off talking about that and updates with this incident. So let me go in and get started on this. Now, this source I'm using is the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. And that is, you know, Brian Burns has that publication. So we're going to start off. We got three articles we're going to cover. The first one, A Widow's Vow, Erica Kirk addresses supporters, pledges to continue husband's mission. Guys, I will tell you that it's, you know, and it was a touching, but there was a point in this address. And this was Jesse during Jesse Waters' time, you know, on Fox News. There was a time when she just, it flipped. Her face, her demeanor, everything just kind of flipped. And I'll tell you when that is coming up. But it was very apparent. I mean, it was like very apparent. In an emotional and defiant address Friday night, Erica Kirk, the widow of assassinated Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk, spoke publicly for the first time since her husband's death, vowing to make his movement stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. Now, Charlie Kirk, it goes on to say, was only 31 years old, fatally shot on Wednesday while holding a debate with students at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. And speaking from Turning Point USA's headquarters, Erica, his wife, delivered a powerful tribute to her late husband. I mean, it's the desk he did his radio show from. His microphone was right there, and she didn't even sit in a seat. She was like beside the desk. But it was just really humbling to hear what she had to say, and then just taking in, you know, the empty desk, empty chair, the microphone that's not being used. She wasn't using that. She was thanking the global community, and I say global, and I mean it, for their support, including President Donald Trump and President J.D. Vance. The things she had to say about them, you know, Vance on, you know, Air Force Two, taking, you know, Charlie Kirk, you know, the body and the casket back to her hometown so they can, you know, honor him. And then how much he loved Trump and Trump loved him, and that they both knew it. It was real touching. And then the change happened. And it goes on to say, in a direct message to her husband's killer and those responsible, she stated, "The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea what you have just unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
Wow.
It was, it was a turning point in this address. And I know that we're talking about Turning Point USA, but it literally was. Before I go on to the other things that we're going to be talking about, Jeff, I don't know if you saw the address or not, or I'm sure you just at least read about it, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I watched it. You know, we all have tragedy in our life, but there's nothing that can match this level of tragedy that she's going through and experiencing, and that she's going to have to carry with her for the rest of her life. And but you know what? It resonates with me to the extent, you know, I lost my mother when I was 16, not to an assassin, but to brain cancer. And that experience, I've been able to harbor that and have that be my driving force in everything I've done the rest of my life. And I don't for a second believe that that's exactly what she's going to be doing. And I believe you're going to see some unbelievable things that she's going to take it to the next level, a level that I believe no one could actually even predict at this point. And she just seems to have that that mindset, her faith, and her belief in the good of all people, and that she's going to take it to the next level. And it's going to be interesting to watch and to be part of.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you see that change in her demeanor when she was addressing the people responsible and really in essence talking to everybody who supported and was, you know, cheering, you know, the death of her husband?
I would characterize it just the stiff upper lip in the change in the focus of her eyes. That speaks volumes. You know, they often say that 80% of your communication is your body language, and it spoke volumes, and it was it spoke even louder than the words she was speaking, to be honest.
No doubt. You know, there are advantages to having the human side. You know, when people become so cold and callous and they just don't have emotion and stuff, you know, it's really sad. You know, they're really, you know, missing out. To not feel for her or her family and what they're going through no fault of their own. But we've seen things being used before, and it's a, you know, and look, not everybody's a Christian. Not everybody has the same beliefs or even the value systems that we all have. We all don't share those same things. Right. But for people like us that have a faith-based relationship with God and our, and are Christians, we've seen what can happen, and we don't understand. And she's not really questioning God. She's not bitter and angry. I mean, to a point, but not at God, you know, for taking her husband. She knows that this is all in the plan, and that he's got this plan. She may not necessarily know what it is yet, but it will unfold. So she's got a lot of faith. So yeah, hearts, we need to really pray and support, you know, for this family. But you know, going on, I'm sorry, did you want to add something, Jeff? Or
well, you know, there's one thing that the key in on it was just, it's in one thing that she said, you know, about those people responsible for this. And I think that's key. I think everybody oftentimes, now that they have a suspect in custody, believes that the investigation's done. And I believe there's a lot more to unpack here, and there's going to be other things falling out in regards to this investigation. In terms of who knew about it, who may have been involved in planning it and helping it to transpire. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, there's certainly been, I hate to say they finally got it right. And I don't mean it like the way it sounds. There's been a lot of attempts. There's been two attempts on Trump's life. There's been a lot of attempts to do really horrible things. And now they have succeeded in doing this to Charlie Kirk. I can't wait to see the good that comes out of this, because that's what you have to look at after something like this. You have to look for that silver lining, that good, because otherwise you just go crazy. So,
you know, and it's not, they didn't just do it to Charlie Kirk. They did it to every American.
Right.
I don't care what side of the, the aisle you're on, you should be very angry. Very angry.
Very angry. You're right. And I wouldn't want this done to Biden. I wouldn't want this done to Obama, even though I don't have a lot of great feelings for them. I mean, this would anger me as an American. And so hopefully people are very careful about that. Guys, we're not done with this one yet. So we've got some more information coming up, a lot more information. And some very timely stuff, stuff that I haven't seen on a lot of the major networks. So stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online mix into it, it's almost endless, right, as far as your choices. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. So they also walk the talk by supporting dozens of focus organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. They have gift cards. We give a couple every week on the show. You can hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. And they always have specials, whether it's sales or shipping or free shipping. It's just incredible. I just bought a new pair of Gainer boots that are waterproof, and they were on sale. I got a fantastic deal. And so please consider going to Gauls at Gauls.com. I think you guys would be very glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, with Compliant Technologies, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common-sense solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com, and watch those cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, we've been talking about Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife that, you know, addressed the nation on the Jesse Waters show on Friday evening. And it was, wow, it was quite impressive. And there were some great takeaways from that. So, after talking to that, there are some updates with this investigation that I know we have a suspect in custody, but Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin's transgender partner cooperating with FBI. And so, yeah, you heard that correctly. Now, this is from TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press. Apparently, Fox News Digital, they're quoted in this information as well. I hadn't heard this, it's not been all over the news. And I was kind of wondering why. So here's what we have from this article written by Danielle Shockey, says that a senior level FBI officials, they confirmed to Fox News Digital that the suspected assassin lived with his transgender partner, which would explain some things. Now, the FBI official, speaking on condition of anonymity, stated that the killer was in a romantic relationship with the unnamed individual, a male transitioning to a female, first reported by Brooke Singman at Fox News Digital. It says the two shared an apartment at St. George, Utah, where forensic agents have been seen collecting evidence. The partner, who is said to be fully cooperating with the FBI, has not been accused of any criminal activity in connection with the assassination. And according to Fox News Digital, the partner had no idea of our bad guy's alleged plot to kill Turning Point USA founder. And then it kind of goes on from there, and it says accused Charlie Kirk shooter uncooperative, had leftist ideology, which I think we all know by now, according to Utah governor. And it does say that according to our Utah governor, Spencer Cox, revealed during a Sunday interview on NBC's Meet the Press, and of course this was on Sunday, that the suspected killer is not cooperating with law enforcement. So that's the latest and most interesting news. Jeff, your take on this?
Well, you know, one thing that I find interesting is, you know, I suspect we're going to find out that there's more people involved in this whole plot. I find it curious that at the time the round was fired, the topic of conversation. Charlie had been asked a question just prior to being shot about the number of trans individuals that are the suspects in mass shootings. And the fact that we now learn that the shooter, at a very minimum, was living with someone who identified as a trans individual, it just makes you question what role did that have in the motivation and the timing of that round being fired. And, you know, how many other people that may involve or include, at least having knowledge that he intended to do something. And depending on what level of support they gave, you could have that be some level of a conspiracy, so to speak, and have those types of charges. So it's going to be interesting to play out. I suspect that it's, we haven't heard the last of this in regards to the evolving investigation and having it, you know, become more broad and include more potential suspects.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I suspect you're right, especially when I remember, you know, conversations about how our bad guy got a hold of the weapon and the commentary or discussions on Discord. And it should be interesting. So, all right. Well, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is that, like, when you want to talk about school shootings, in 4 out of 5 school shootings, there's at least one other person that knows the intent of the shooter prior to the incident occurring. And I don't think that's much unlike this situation. And I believe that the investigation is going to prove that to be the case.
Interesting. Well, we'll get it out here first. So excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Lieutenant. If you're ready to move on, and you know, we've got we got some stories. Actually, before the show started, I was telling Jeff that we have an attorney. He's a gun expert here in Florida, and there's been some new Florida changes with open carry. And I just got a text message that attorney signed it for Wednesday's show. So without me calling him or anything, so he signed it for Wednesday. I'm sure to talk about this. So Wednesday show, we will be talking about the new Florida law. And we had banned open carry, and apparently they found that unconstitutional, and it violated the Second Amendment. Now, it's interesting because that's the, I think it was the Florida Appellate Court, but it's interesting that, you know, that's not the case elsewhere in the country, right? So I'm just kind of curious if there's going to be, Florida's not appealing. Florida's excited about this, so we have no issue with people carrying guns. I don't particularly like hanging out with guys, unless they're cops, that have guns out in the open. They're strapping guns. I don't know what the level of training or competency is. But anyhow, that's, you know, in my opinion, look, you're just, you know, unless you have to carry it in your uniform, you know, you're just stupid to carry a gun out in the open, because you're just advertising to every criminal that you're the dude that they need to take out first. When you're doing something, you know, you're going first, you know. So I don't like it. I don't think it's smart. And some people just like to be able to strap it on. I'm talking about the gun, Jeff, and just, you know, go through life. But yeah, just not a smart move. And when you carried a gun for a living, you pull up the people and you're in a marked unit, you're just driving around with all the, I hated, I really never enjoyed that aspect of being in uniform, driving marked units and stuff. I loved my job and I was good at it, but I was much better, much more comfortable doing plain clothes, undercover stuff where no one knew who I was, what I carried or what my capabilities were. I just like the blend in everywhere I go. I just love that. I love that. And anyhow, so that my 2 cents on that. So if you're ready, we've got some stories with video components, Jeff, that are, let me tell you, I go to This Is Butter for our videos, right? This Is Butter. It's got the best channel at rumble.com. It's called This Is Butter. And I'm not making that up. And I would find a video and I said, this is going to be our number one video for tomorrow. And then I go to the next one on Butter's channel and it would be, oh crap, this is going to have to be the number. It's, this is better than they. And then I got another one that was even, it was just crazy. So at least minimum, the first two, if not all four, I mean, they're just wild. They're videos that when we discuss them on the show, that people are going to want to have to see because they're just that good. So let me just whet the appetite with the first one that we're going to be talking about here. Body cam video from Aurora police, fatally shooting of Rayhan Belt Stubblefield.
Stay in the car. Don't move. Don't move. Motor 45. I've got a crash. Sixth. Just east of 225. Get a couple cars here now. Stanley, give me your hands. Show me your hands. Get your hands up, dude. Get your hands up right now. Get your hands up. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Get away from that motherfucking gun. Get on the ground now.
Get that shit. Nigga,
get on the ground now.
Get that shit. Get that shit. Get that shit.
I hear you.
Get that shit. Get that shit.
Dad, chill. No.
Get that shit.
No, Dad, chill.
Get that shit.
Officer, chill. Dad.
Get that shit.
Get on the ground.
Get that shit.
Get on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Dad, chill.
So, yeah. Are you ready for this?
Relax.
You ready for this?
Get on the ground.
You ready for this? You ready for this, huh? You ready for this, huh?
Get on the ground.
You ready for this?
Now that name doesn't ring a bell, but I mean, there's pursuit involved and a traffic stop and a crash. It's incredible. Guys, stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards that we've been talking about, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that you can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. Woo, boy, if I didn't have that Black Rifle energy drink, I would not be able to talk this fast. We're playing the intro music. Jeff's bombing his head. He's starting to catch on now to that. And I know I just kind of whet the appetite before our last commercial break talking about a story that a video component from Aurora Police. But before we jump on that, Jeff has his new book coming out. He's got an announcement to make. This is for all of our satellite radio listeners as well. So Jeff Wininger, take it from here.
Yeah, so listen, tomorrow is the official release date of the book. And you have an opportunity here on this radio show. If you go to onthenicebook.com and you enter your email address, you'll be part of the email list. And I have an opportunity each week. All you have to do is enter once. Each week, you'll have an opportunity to win a VIP swag box that contains a hardcover copy of the book that'll be signed, as well as some other gifts. And so, you know, do yourself a favor. It's quite a enlightening gift to get. So, also, I would say this: tomorrow's the release date, but if you go to Amazon Books and put On Thin Ice, you can purchase it as early as today.
Are you serious? Really?
It's live today. Yeah.
Wow, you're not just pulling my chain trying to get us to go to the Amazon, but wow, that is incredible. Wow, that's incredible. I see we have Betty Dunn that's watching the show right now, and I think she's on Facebook. And
yeah, she was a winner. She won two weeks ago.
Betty's a big fan, and she's got her local library ordering the books and stuff. She's got, you know, hooking up the local cops, you know, with some swag from this show and involving, you know, On Thin Ice, you know. So yeah, I love it. So yeah, and we got Diane Groves Tarr, another new listener from Facebook. So thanks for watching the show, Diane. We appreciate it. So tomorrow is the day, and Amazon.com. Hey, I do have a question for you. So if people, look, I love a physical book. Don't get me wrong. I love hardbacks. I just something about them. and they've got the cover over and the protection book. I'm all about when I drive my wife crazy. So if we go to the grocery store and I go into like the, I like to go into the book magazine section. If I buy a magazine, I have to put it in a separate bag. I don't like a crinkle, a kink in it. I can't fold the page. I just can't. It's got to be like pristine. If I ever let anybody have a book or whatever, I've got to I got to relax a little bit because I know it's probably not going to come back in the same condition I'm giving it to somebody. And, you know, a lot of times I'll tell people like on the Special Forces book that I gave a guy that was Special Forces dude, I said, just keep it because it would bother me too much if I got it back and it had a crink in it. You know, it's just some OD, you know, OD stuff that I have going on. But anyhow, I love the hardback books, but when I get the books, Kindle is the way for me to go because I'm so busy. I have so much going on. I've always got the book with me. If I have any downtime, if I'm sitting outside, if I'm sitting in Victoria's Secrets, you know, with the other, you know, dudes that are while their wives are shopping, I got my Kindle app going. So do you have the at Amazon.com? Is a Kindle app available yet for On Thin Ice yet? Or do you know?
It will be available. You can actually get the electronic version as well, though, if you go to onthinicebook.com website. You can purchase it there. So you don't necessarily have to get it through Kindle. You can purchase it there. The
electronic version.
And then on Amazon, it's both in the hard copy and paperback. It's coming out in both. Like here's that's a hard copy behind me. And then here's the paperback.
That is one big book. Wow. That is great. I love it. All right. Congratulations. Exciting times, Jeff. So congratulations. And guys, please sign up at onthinicebook.com. Get that swag. And remember, you only got to sign up once. They'll keep you in until for every contest every week without you having to keep reentering, so you have nothing to lose. So it's a great opportunity. So guys, let's go to the story that I kind of whet the appetite on. This is rumble.com again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam video from Aurora police officers shows the fatal shooting of this bad guy. So Aurora police on Friday released the body cam footage from one of their officers. It shows the officer trying to arrest and then shoot, and he ends up killing 37-year-old Rayhan Belt Stubblefield. Now, it happened last month after the black man refused to comply. You know, there they go again, Jeff. They're already setting the stage, you know, and I hate the way they write these. So they might as well just say white officer next, right? So, but they say this black man refuses to comply with demands and attempts to fight the officer following an attempted traffic stop. That's the last time they really say anything about the guy doing, you know, I told you when I hear use of forces, is the bad guy, you know, being compliant or not? That's kind of like the last time they ever hint that the guy really wasn't compliant, which is kind of sad. So it tells you where they're going, the kind of controversy they're trying to create with the article. But it happened on August the 30th in Aurora. So our bad guy's family says they plan to push for charges against the officer who shot him three times, the final time in the head. So they're trying to make that a point, right? The officer's identity has so far been withheld by the police department. Nationally prominent civil rights attorney Ben Crump, of course, he's now representing the family. He held a press conference with them on Friday. He was a beautiful person. He loved everyone. And this is what the widow said at the news conference. And his son named Zion was nearly at a loss for words. But there is a tell there. He saw his father shot and killed before his eyes. Now, I know on the outside that sounds horrible, but his son was part of the problem. His son's part of the reason why dad got shot and killed in the first place. You'll find out when we get to the story in a second. So the situation starts when the officer attempts to pull over the vehicle that the bad guy was driving, and it says the bad guy drives into some other vehicles. So it doesn't say that he fled. He forces the police to enter into a police pursuit. He crashes into an innocent, you know, driver or car because of all this. It kind of leaves that stuff out. So don't even think for a second that this guy has some, you know, he's some kind of a good guy. He's a bona fide bad guy. So after he crashes the car while he's running from police, body cam shows our cop getting out, and he pulls his gun out because this guy's been fleeing from him, and he points it at our bad guy who's still behind the wheel. The door's closed, and he's approaching him, and the vehicle's damaged, and the bad guy would have kept running if the vehicle hadn't been damaged so badly. It says the bad guy eventually opens the door. What it fails to tell you is that the officer's given him commands to stay in the car and to show me your hands. Bad guy opens up the door, gets out of the car. And even when he does that, his right hand is hidden behind his body. And then he starts, you know, walking away. It's just easier for me to go through memory on this thing because it'll be a little bit more fluid. And I kind of remember everything that's going on. So our bad guy starts to walk away from the cop. Cop still has his gun in his right hand. It is always I'm going to say, I was a defensive tactics instructor, and it's ill-advised to go hands-on with people when you have a gun in your hand. I'm just saying that. And you're also at a disadvantage. A lot of bad things can happen, including whatever you do with your left hand can be mimicked and replicated with the right hand without you even intending it for it to happen. You know, and I mean, like, you grab someone with your left hand, you can even without intention pull your trigger finger down because they're kind of, you know, what one hand does, the other one can reciprocate. So our cop goes hands-on with the bad guy, and the cop goes down to the ground. It's unclear because of the body cam, but it doesn't look like the bad guy landed on the ground too. So cop, you see him kind of reposition himself, getting back up. Cop still has his gun in his hand. And apparently what had happened, the bad guy, he had this gun in his hand when the cop grabbed him. I don't think the cop knew at that time, but the bad guy drops the gun when they start having a little fight. And so the cop immediately says something, say, hey, stay away from that gun on the ground. And it looks like he's talking to the son, who was looked like he was going to maybe go over there and pick up the gun that the dad had dropped. And so then there's about three times to where the bad guy's approaching the cop and he checks him, which means like hits him and creates some space and stuff. And he keeps, you know, telling him, don't pick it up, don't pick it up. Like he's talking to the kid, and the dad keeps telling the kid to go pick up something off the ground. It wasn't the word gun that he used, but now you've got the kid and you've got the father, it appears, or following this cop. Cop's backing up. He's got him at gunpoint. And now you got two guys. And now I know people are saying, why don't you just like holster your gun and then you can go with less lethal and stuff? Because at this point, once you have your gun pulled, the moment he goes to put his gun in the holster, he's at a huge disadvantage. They're too close. All they have to do is charge him. And now it's a fight over a gun. And he's screwed because he's likely not going to be able to get that gun holstered secured. And then it's an unfair fight anyhow. So he ends up shooting the bad guy twice. And then a third time, apparently, in the head is the way that it happened. So that's the way that it ends. Jeff Weininger, your input. Yeah, about a minute and a half, your input on this one.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to go back in time. And when I watched the entire video, because I watched it from the beginning to the end. And the one thing I noticed initially, there is no audio. So you have to wait for the audio to come on with the video. But at the point that it did, I didn't hear any broadcast of a pursuit at the termination after the traffic collision occurred. I didn't hear any broadcast that the pursuit had ended. When he did broadcast, he just said that there was a traffic collision. So I hope that he followed protocol and procedures relative to broadcasting the pursuit and that he was actually in a pursuit. Just from what I heard and didn't hear, I suspect he may not have. And then the circumstance of giving the verbal commands, you know, he gave the verbal commands. Now I would like to have seen him do so while he's still behind cover. That's always a good tactic. Time and distance and cover is your success. But we'll follow up with this after we get back from the break.
Perfect timing. You're getting good at this, Jeff. All right, commercial break. We'll be right back. Here we go. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe and knowledgeable certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. The course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. So if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. And again, that is at GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Weininger. He also has On Thin Ice coming out in book form tomorrow. He did tell us that you may want to go to Amazon today. You could check him out on Amazon. You might be able to get it today if you really wanted to on Amazon.com. But anyhow, we just got done talking about a use of force. The story is a video component. We have a bad guy that ran from police, and the family's already hired, you know, attorney Ben Crump. But You know, bad guy did not follow police commands, did not stay in the vehicle, did not show his hands, got out of the vehicle, apparently had a gun hidden behind his side in his right hand. Cop goes hands on, bad guy drops the gun. And then it seems like there is a threat of the gun being picked up by the bad guy's son that is also there and out of the car. And then as both the son and the bad guy are approaching the officer who's retreating backwards with his gun out, and there's several interactions, physical interactions between the bad guy and the cop. Cop ends up firing three rounds and kills the bad guy. I suppose on the surface, you could say that he shot an unarmed, suspect. And that's where a lot of people that just don't know any better may jump on the bandwagon thinking, the use of force is overly, it's just too much, It's just not inadequate. It's just too much force for the situation. And Jeff Winninger was just, talking, describing this to us. So Jeff Winninger, the floor is yours.
Yeah. So, after the traffic collision occurred, the officer started to give verbal commands for the suspect to remain in the car and show his hands, which he wasn't compliant. I would have liked to see the officer maintain a position of cover in doing that. And I would have liked to have seen perhaps some meaningful broadcasts asking for assistance or actually even help, because this thing continued to escalate, especially after he had the initial physical altercation. And that's important. We don't have the benefit of what the officer's statement is going to be relative to this incident. But Chip, you and I both know, whether it's in training or it's in real life in the field, when we know that we are up against a credible threat and that could actually overpower us based on our size, comparatively speaking to theirs and their strength and all those sorts of things. We don't have the benefit of that. With the body-worn video, I can see the size of the suspect, who was a decent-sized guy, but I don't know the stature of the officer. I don't know the officer's, training background and level of expertise and grappling or, pugilistics and those sorts of things. And these are all things that you need to be considered, because it's at the end of the day, it's about objective reasonableness. Would an officer with similar training and experience done a similar thing under that circumstance? And the reality is that the threat here was not just the suspect that was shot and killed, but the son. This officer had to manage a lot. And then you have to incorporate the fact that there's a gun laying on the deck. This could escalate very quickly. And even if he were to tie up in a physical altercation in the event that he was successful in holstering his handgun, he's potentially going to be taking on more than one suspect. Because the other suspect who may get involved has access to a firearm. So this is really a complex case. On the surface of it, when you look at it, people may say, I've got a problem with this. He's unarmed. But when you take into all these other factors, that some of them we don't know because we don't have access to the statement of the officer. And the video doesn't show us everything that he's actually seeing. So at the end of the day, I would caution people from pressing any judgment at this point relative to what you see just on that video. Are there things the officer could have done better? Sure. That's from a tactical standpoint that may have increased the likelihood that there may have been a more optimal outcome had more resources been responding because he requested help and the suspect would hear the sirens coming or whatever, which may deter him from escalating. Who knows? That's a bunch of, hindsight and stuff. And actually, we don't have the benefit of, 20/20 hindsight when we're evaluating these types of cases. So even though those are things we would have liked to have seen done differently, it really won't change the ultimate outcome in the appropriateness of this use of force. So it's just a lot to understand and unpack. And to be honest, we don't have all the information to really form a super strong opinion. But I do see, the aspects of this that would be in favor of the officer's decision to use lethal force.
Hey, I saw a video once that we covered. It was a burglary of a jewelry store, I believe, or a pawn shop. And our cop goes in, I believe it was a deputy. It's dark. and the guy's behind the counter and he's just like, you know, raking the stuff in, right, and stealing it. And so our cop draws down on the bad guy. Bad guy comes out from behind the counter, starts approaching the cop. Now the cop's got a gun in his hand and he doesn't pull the trigger. And then he goes to holster it because he's going to go hands on with the bad guy, but he doesn't want to do it with the gun in his hand. Bad guy closes in. And now they're, guess what? They're fighting over a gun. Cop's got at least one hand on the gun, sometimes two. The bad guy's got two free hands going for the gun. It's not a great fight. So I remember after seeing that, it was just pivotal watching that and just saying, well, you know, once you have your gun out, and if you're at close proximity, it could be a lethal mistake trying to reholster. And then it's easy, the 2020 hindsight, you know, I'm watching that, watching him leave the gun on the ground and then back away, where, you know, I know in your career, I mean, with me and war in the hood, dude, things disappear. You don't secure that, then it's gone. It's disappeared. People are grabbing that sucker. And I would have liked to have seen him stood his ground and at least cover that weapon instead of walking away from it. If not pick it up, maybe not pick it up if you think you're going to be going on hands on with a bad guy and fighting and stuff. But, cause you don't know if it's going to discharge or what, while you put it in your, you know, I've also had a cop put one in the front of his pants and have it discharge and get his femoral artery, you know, and he lived, but he was not a cop anymore. So yeah,
You know, what was your agency's policy on warning shots?
Oh, heck no. No. Heck no, 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 no warning shots, because, you know, whatever goes up must come down. You know, they thought that it was far more libelous and reckless to do that, a warning shot. So the only time you ever pulled your gun, when I first started, it was, you know, later on it became to stop the threat. But yeah, when you're going lethal, when you're pulling your gun out, or you're firing your gun, you're trying to eliminate the threat always. Yeah. No warning shots ever. I don't think my agency's ever allowed that.
With the LAPD, we are allowed to use warning shots. Now, not warning shots in the way that you described it, where you'd fire into the air, you'd fire it into the grass or what have you. Some soft turfs that would be around. But you can only do so if you would be justified in using lethal force anyway.
Which makes no sense to me. And I know the policy, but you know, you always run the risk of a ricochet is where I'm going. Even at the range, we used to shoot at metal targets at times for certain tactical training and stuff. And so, you know what I'm talking about. You'll fire and then you hear like whiz by your ear and stuff, and almost, you know, there's, I'm so, anyhow, if I was the agency lead, the chief or sheriff, I would never allow it, simply because you can't always rely on the officer in that situation being aware of, is it a soft ground, a very minimal chance of like a ricochet, or is it going to hit like a metal object that's under the sand, is going to ricochet and hit and kill someone, or, you know, and then of course you only typically allow them to do warning shots if you have justification for lethal anyhow. What's the point? You know, I just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you were allowed to use them with the LAPD, but it was rare that you ever saw it. And it was not often looked at too favorably.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Well, Jeff, we're coming up at, we're winding it down. It's been a great show. And you really dissected, you know, I love our first topic, you know, talking about, you know, Erica Kirk and the update, you know, on our alleged shooter, but also this last story too. There's a lot to unpack from that. And we got some more. I know you'll be on a more show, and we're going to be talking about some amazing stories that we got off of This Is Butter's channel at rumble.com. So I can't wait to cover that. And also your book coming out, On Thin Ice, and then go to On Thin Ice book to get more information. And to start, that's the whole advantage. Register for the swag at onthinicebook.com. That's where you guys are really going to make out. Just like Betty Dunn did. I want to take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Rennie Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And if you're looking for an organization to support that's not going to embarrass you, consider the Wounded Blue at woundedblue.org. I'm paranoid about who I give my money to and who I support, and I do them on a monthly basis, and I don't have to worry about it. So it's a great organization. A shout out again to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We also have ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FishOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.